This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We are checking in with Representative Val Hoyle, 4th District Member of Congress from Oregon. Congresswoman, thanks for being on this morning.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good here in the summertime. I know things are busy. And remind me, are you back in D.C. or are you back in Oregon?
No, I'm back in Oregon. We were meant to be in D.C., have committee hearings. We had a whole bunch of meetings that were scheduled from people coming out, but Republican leadership canceled this week. So we're back at home. I'm able to talk to you and instead of getting the work done that we're supposed to be doing.
I want to ask about a number of things here in the short time we have. You and Senator Merkley teaming up to introduce the Wildfire Resilient Communities Act. That's getting a lot of attention today. Tell us more about that.
So, you know, as we all know, those of us who live in rural communities or in the wildland-urban interface, you know, wildfires have devastated our towns, our economies, and forests. And what this legislation does is invest in prevention, resilience, and local jobs, because we have got to get ahead of these wildfires. So it's $30 billion to allow the Forest Service, BLM, and other agencies to increase wildfire reduction efforts, $3 billion for community wildfire defense grants, and permanently reauthorizes the programs that would help us better manage our forests. Like, we know that the Job Corps programs that put kids out in the woods, teaching them skills, helping them take out the debris that'll burn, like the Wolf Creek Youth Corps program, were canceled, and we'd like to see those programs started up again.
Now, let's talk about that. Do you see a likely potential to get Job Corps, get Wolf Creek going again? It seems a little unlikely at this point, but it seems like a lot of things are in flux right now.
You know, I'm not sure, but I do have a good working relationship with Lori DeRemer. We'd served together in the last congressional session, so I've spoken with her and her team and have really made the case that these programs both save lives, save our forests, and if there's inefficiencies in the program overall, then let's focus on spending our money on what's efficient that gets the most bang for the buck. And that Wolf Creek Job Corps program is popular across the political spectrum. Again, it helps kids get those life skills. I mean, the other thing that we've seen is that, like, at Oregon State, the internship programs that the forestry students have, working with the Forest Service, working with the BLM, those have been canceled. So we have kids, foresters, that are not going to be able to graduate, and then that's extra hands-on that we need coming into wildfire season. But there are other things that I'm doing as well, working in a bipartisan way, like with Senator Tim Sheehy. He's a Republican from Montana. He did wildland firefighting, you know, has a helicopter contract company, has fought fires here in Oregon. And the two of us are working together to bring some, you know, hands-on, practical ideas and experience to make sure that we can get ahead of things, invest in preventing wildfires, and then making sure that we're keeping wildfires small as soon as they start. And to that end, tonight, we're doing a webinar with the Oregon State Fire Marshal, Mariana Ruiz Temple, at 5:30 on our YouTube channel. And we'd love for everyone to join because, you know, wildfire is an issue that affects all of us, and I want to make sure that we keep people as informed as possible going into this next season.
And we do have the link to get to that up with our site at 541radio.com. There were so many things going back and forth during all the big, beautiful bill debate, and one of those that didn't get as much of attention as I thought maybe it would, except near the end, related to the county's share of funding from federal timber receipts. My understanding was that more of that is going to be directed to the federal government. Former County Commissioner Doug Robertson thought that would be, I don't remember an exact quote, but thought it would be kind of disastrous to counties. How did that all end up?
So this is something that I highlighted because it's so important here in the ONC. Basically, in that bill, as soon as it was signed, all timber sale revenue, those timber receipts, the county share, now goes back to the federal government coffers. So I've submitted an amendment to allow things to stay as they are, and it didn't even get heard. I've talked to Cliff Bentz. He had said that writing it any other way wouldn't have gotten past the parliamentarian, but he has committed to work with me to make sure, and we're working with Republican Bruce Westerman, who is the chair of the Natural Resources Committee. I serve on the Natural Resources Committee, to let him know this needs fixed as soon as possible. We're also working with both Republicans and Democrats on the Natural Resources Committee on a tribal co-management bill that will set up, again, more county share of timber receipts, in working to see what we can do to expand capacity if the Forest Service and the BLM doesn't have the personnel to manage our forests. We need to do something different. We need to bring jobs into our forests. We need to bring money back to our counties so that we can pay for all the things that are really critical. And to that end, the other thing that was in that bill was striking the Medicaid provider tax, which is a way that we, you know, help fund our rural hospitals. So we have 11 of our 33 rural hospitals that are on the verge of closure. And these Medicaid provisions that are in the bill could be devastating, specifically the simple thing that allows us to pay for our hospitals with a provider tax that they pay, and that was struck. So I've got some really serious concerns, and I'm just hoping that now that the bill got passed, and I feel like that was rushed through, started in the dead of night, it was a loyalty test as opposed to really focusing on policy, that we'll be able to come together and fix some of these things that are going to hurt rural Oregon really severely.
Is that going to be hard to do, though, where we are already in mid-July and you've got a likely recess coming up in a few weeks?
Yes, and that doesn't mean we don't try. So I've been, you know, immediately after the bill passed, I was on the phone specifically about these timber receipts, talking to people about the Medicaid provider tax, talking with the governor's office, just because, you know, because Mike Johnson and leadership decided that they didn't think we needed to show up this week doesn't mean that I'm not going to be working every single minute to make sure that, you know, our counties don't get what they need. So I'm going to continue to work.
As we wrap up here, Supreme Court decision the other day, my understanding of it was that it was going to allow the Trump administration's proposed cuts to a lot of federal government agencies to proceed on through. They've kind of been on a holding pattern for a while. What happens next?
You know, we'll have to see. I mean, what we saw was with Elon Musk and Doge, they came in and just cut federal agencies, cut, you know, fired people regardless of the importance of their jobs. You know, the people monitoring the tsunami warning system. There's, you know, other critical good people overseeing our nuclear stockpiles, right? Now, what we have seen is a number of those people have been, you know, hired back or have been, you know, trying to be recruited back. What I'm hopeful is that in this iteration of whatever cuts are made, that they actually look at the people that are doing the work. We all want government efficiency. Government needs to be more efficient. We all want waste, fraud, and abuse to be rooted out of government. We should be using taxpayer dollars wisely. And if we gut, say, for instance, our employees at the VA, that means our veterans aren't going to get the services and the benefits that they earn. In Social Security, that means that people are not going to be able to get through on the phone to Social Security. So to that end, I am hopeful that there may be a more strategic approach this time, that now that Elon Musk is not overseeing the project. And if people are having difficulty with a federal agency, they should call our office, and we can help, whether it's Social Security, veterans benefits, getting a passport, you know, Pell Grant, immigration issues, whatever it is. If it's a federal agency you're dealing with, the IRS, and you're having difficulties, contact our office, and we can help you get through.
All right, out of time for now. 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle, thanks for being on this morning.
All right. Thank you so much, and have a great day. Enjoy the weather.
All right. 8:42 at the Morning Report.